Barry's mother had been so proud when he signed up with the Catholic seminary. His father would have been proud, too, if he hadn't been killed in the Korean War. After seminary, Barry apprenticed in a Carmel, California parish as the Vietnam War really began to settle in. He finished his studies and a year later signed up as a chaplain for the U.S. Army. He never imagined he'd be close to the battlefield. Each time there was a request for him to go out in the field with the soldiers, he accepted. It was risky, but there were men dying and no one to offer them last rites or absolution. He figured that after the war, his experience would help him find a position in a big city parish, an important post close to nice restaurants and large libraries. He was 28 at the time, older than most of the soldiers. They were like young boys to him until they began dying and offering up their confessions. Then their confessions revealed long stretches of life and heavy burdens, the weight of unabsolved sins. He knew all about sins. He'd been trained to know about them. Venial sins, mortal sins, sins of omission, sins of commission. He had an ear for what penance fit each confession. He knew the Catholic language, those categories that separated him from any emotional connection to the sin. Bestiality, incest, impure thoughts. None of that mattered in Vietnam. There wasn't room for penance in war. The language he'd studied to articulate the state of a man's soul was of no use to him. The dying men he saw in the field used the words they could gather together as their lives bled out of them. He watched the life soak into the ground and spread out, soaking through his combat fatigues and into his knees where he knelt in the grass. His knees remained dark for days, the cloth thick and moist in the humid air. The men told Barry the worst of their lives. In those last moments, their lives were defined by their worst acts. For some of them, there was not enough time for absolution. Mostly, they confessed sins committed back home, burdens they carried all the way here, only to lay them down in the jungle, in the grass, in the rice paddies, cousins they'd slept with, children they'd hurt, people they'd killed, bodies hidden, things they did to farm animals, things they'd stolen. If the men confessed anything they'd done in Vietnam, it usually had to do with accidents. Once a week, a young, dying man would tell them about killing one of their own. Not many of these got reported. Barry didn't keep count. He tried not to listen for names. One night, an officer in the mess tent was talking about World War II. Supposedly, one out of five deaths in that war could be attributed to friendly fire. Friendly fire. And now, Americans were coming over to a small country in Asia to kill more Americans. They told Barry about it as they lay dying. Barry listened and offered the assurance of forgiveness to those who lived long enough to receive it. One boy had killed a fellow soldier in the crossfire and lied about it. Later, he tried to take his own life in the midst of the battle, but flinched when he pulled the trigger, killing the soldier standing next to him. He lied about that, too. Some of the guilty ones ventured out into the open during the firefight, the shame heavy on their backs. Suicide runs. Those who lived to talk to Barry often told him why they had done it. One scorching hot day, at the edge of a firefight, a soldier spoke to him from the ground. The soldier's left arm and part of his right were gone. His side lay open, blood seeping into the earth around him. The medic hadn't even bothered to cover up the wounds before moving on. The chopper had come and gone once already. The life came pulsing out where the boy's elbow should have been as Barry knelt by his side and listened. The boy was shaking violently. He spoke with the words he could find. Where words would not come, he spoke to Barry with his eyes. Barry didn't look away, and he heard it all. "Bless me, Father. Listen, I killed one of our own, a guy from another platoon. They weren't supposed to be there. Thought he was a gook. Came up from behind with a knife. He didn't hear me coming. After he died, I took his water, a chocolate bar, a picture of his woman. I took the picture. It's in my pocket here. The boy had stopped trembling, and his gaze struck Barry like a fist so he could barely breathe. I have impure thoughts about the woman in the picture, Father, and I killed her husband. I keep killing him in my head and fucking his wife. It seems right to kill him and then keep killing him. I drink his water. I eat his chocolate. I fuck his wife. Why do I want to keep taking his life away? She is so beautiful. Please take the picture. Don't let me die with it. Barry reached into the boy's clothing and removed several letters and the photograph. She was smiling, her hands loose at her side. He turned back to the boy. His eyes were still open, but he was gone. Barry left the battlefield in the next chopper, keeping close to the boy's body. As they flew over a stretch of hills, he tossed the photo of the woman out the door. For the dying, there is no time for penance, and sometimes not even for last rites. Barry said prayers for the boy there in the chopper and continued to think of him long after he was gone, long after the war was over. After that day, he knew he had come to the end of something. Part of his life was dead now, or buried. He couldn't keep to the structure of the sacraments in the chaos of war. If the sacraments were empty here, how could they work anywhere else? The confessions continued, running over, pooling at his feet, hardening over his skin in layers. He never went back to church after the war. He just turned away and didn't look back. Not from God, really. In some ways, God's calm presence behind all things remained there for him. He tried to question the existence of God the way he'd heard others do so many times, but he couldn't. Even though it no longer filled the words of the religion he'd once believed in, it still filled other things. He didn't need the words of prayers and sacraments anymore to try and exert authority over it. Even these days, he could see it in his surroundings, though he couldn't feel it in himself. Sitting, watching the river, Barry could see it in the current, the water carrying life below the surface. Barry felt impervious to that stillness, barely even a witness to it. But it was enough. It was enough to know it was there, enough to sit on the edge of a dock in its presence.